Reading today comes from Matthew 6, 5 to 14. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours.
Well, again, good morning, everyone. I think one of the hardest things to do is to presume that I understand prayer. Also, to think that I'm in a position where I can present something to you in the sense of being a teacher and you being students. No, folks, we're in this together, aren't we? I remember some decades ago now, I was a teenager once, when a leading pastor of the Baptist Union in those days exclaimed almost in despair one Sunday evening in the middle of his sermon and saying, "We are but in the kindergarten of prayer." And it struck with me. I remembered it all these years. At first it sounded almost as if it was a call in despair, as if there was something that he hadn't reached. And I thought, wow, if that man is saying that, what hope have I got of ever graduating from the kindergarten? And a similar thought has come true in the quote that I gave from Thomas Merton and was printed in the Hackham Herald this week. And he's reported to as saying, "We do not want to be beginners of prayer, but let us be convinced of the fact that we'll never be anything but beginners all our life." Well, later in life, I've realised that really, being in the kindergarten for prayer has been hinted at by Jesus himself. As Mark records in his gospel, that as some little children were being brought to Jesus, he blessed them. And these words are recorded: "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them. Yes, to enter the kingdom, we need to become little children. And so it's that attitude that I want to bring to you this morning, that as we come to prayer, to pray, in some ways, we should consider ourselves little children in the kindergarten, in the kingdom of God. For a child has a sense of wonder, of awe, a willingness to learn, a curiosity about the world around them. A world that can be a threatening place, but also an exciting place, something to explore. There's new experiences to take part in, or to be part of. There are new people to meet. And there's our a family to be thankful for and to have our needs met. So I'm suggesting this morning that as we look at the prayer that Jesus gave to us and that Nat read, the version from the record that we have in Matthew's Gospel, and we'll be thinking around that today, I'm suggesting that we become as little children. We become disciples, we become learners, and having that attitude and expectation, we look at this prayer and seek to learn from it. So secondly, we'll look at the setting of the prayer. Where does Jesus put it in his teaching? Where does Matthew remember it being? It's embedded there in that large section of the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, or soon after the beginning, where he presents what Jesus is teaching. What does his kingdom look like? What does it mean to act as his citizen, as the part of his group, of his people? The prayer itself is set between two thoughts about prayer. First of all, Matt read that warning, do not be like the hypocrites who pray in public. Prayer is not something that should be a display. It's not an act. We don't pretend to be someone whom we're not. It's basically a private activity. As Jesus says here, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. But the reward will be something that is seen, that is in your life among the people. And secondly, when you pray, don't keep on babbling. Don't keep on talking as if your God is at a far distance or who is preoccupied with someone else. He is attentive. So do not rattle on. Do not babble on. Because your Father knows what you need. He hears your prayer. And then after giving the prayer, there's a further setting of the need for forgiveness. Jesus wants to underline the fundamental importance when we come to God and call on him for forgiveness and renewal. The reality of that will be seen by our forgiveness of those who sin against us. Now let me say, as a little aside, Jesus does not say that we shouldn't pray in groups. And in chapter 18, Matthew records that where we meet for fellowship in prayer, there the Lord is with us, among us. And of course that's the basis of Christian fellowship. The presence of God by his Spirit is among us, surrounding us. And as we come together in prayer, so we should experience a great fellowship. And as a further aside, can I just say that in my own experience, there is that special fellowship of prayer. If I can just say one instance of that. In my work as a chaplain at the nursing home there at Kalara, at Woodcroft, one of the privileges is sharing time with Christian people who are finishing their pilgrimage here. And on one occasion, I was meeting with a man who was coming to the end of his life. He had been very faithful in his Christian living. He had worked in Africa as a Christian worker. And he was struggling to express himself. And I suggested we have a time of prayer. And truly it was as if the Lord was there meeting us as this man opened up his heart and his concern and his praise to his master. And I rejoiced in that time and was challenged by that, desiring that my prayer times might be more significant as well. And I would just mention, we do meet here at 10 o'clock on Monday mornings, and you are invited, if you're able, to join with us. Yes, there's a special fellowship that we develop as we pray together. Well, then let's look at the prayer itself for a few moments. Of course, we're not actually reading what Jesus said, because Jesus would have spoken in Aramaic. Then Matthew has written some years later in Greek, although the actual form of the prayer is a poem in Hebrew. And the Greek has just taken over that form. And we won't need to go into detail, but it can actually be compared to the structure in a number of the Psalms. And so this Hebrew psalm, or this Hebrew poem in the Greek, has come down to us now through the modern translation into English. And so we need to trust the scholars on this, that it hasn't been watered down or changed, modified over the centuries. And we can testify of the reliability and the authenticity of the gospel records. Yes, the New Testament has not been mutilated over the centuries. We have textual early manuscripts of this. And of course, we also recognize that the Holy Spirit has been over this process. And God's word comes to us today accurately. And this is something that we can rely on as being the truth, that the gospel has been faithfully presented to us through the words of Scripture. God has prevented his word from going astray in any sense. And so we come to this prayer. We come as one who has turned aside and has gone to their own home, to their own room, if you like, and now looks heavenwards to the Father. So the first thing is the address to the Father. What amazing thing this is, that we can come to our Creator and address Father. But we notice that it's our Father. Even though we're there alone, in an attitude of a child before their father, we are made aware of the great company in which we are part of. That's part of the surprise, isn't it? Our Father. Jesus is saying, you are not alone. You are one of a great family, the Christian Church, both on earth and in heaven. And isn't that the greatest fear of a little child? That they might be left alone, alone in the dark, alone in a strange place. Jesus is saying, pray, our Father, be aware you're in a great company of those who are praising God who is in heaven. Now, we might, some of us think of heaven still as some strange place way out there in the universe. But it's not that. One of the most straightforward illustrations that I've heard of concerning heaven is that it's another dimension, but it's just as close to us as a curtain across this room. One day that curtain will be pulled aside. Jesus will appear again to our sight, to the sight of everyone on earth. But it's just a curtain. It's just there. In a sense, it's in the room with us as we pray. But it is there. The Father is present by the Spirit. And as I bow, I become aware that I need to honour the Father in heaven in his holiness. Hallowed, we honour the holiness of God, of our God. Hallowed be your name. And so we're aware, just as a child can be aware, truly humble before him, in awe of who he is. And aware of our own sinfulness, but as we give honour to him, we also realise he is being honoured in heaven. The angels and all those in heaven are praising him. And so we come to the next request, that his kingdom will come. And it will come on earth as it is in heaven. Or as another translation has it, thy will be done in heaven as it is in heaven, so on earth. The thought is that just as God's will is uncontested in heaven, his holy will is through that dimension. So we pray, as we see it there, let it be here. Our desire is that that will be brought to earth. Someday it will. Someday in the new creation, heaven will come to earth. The new dimension will come in its fullness. A little child doesn't doubt the strength or the authority of their parents. I mean, that's Some of us would say, well, John, that's what they should be doing. You come to our place, sometimes it's not obvious. There's a bit of a rebellion going on. But no, when we really see our Heavenly Father, we can only say, do it here, do it in my life, fulfill your purpose in me. Your will be done is the next request. It flows into our attitude as little children, doesn't it? Yes, we acknowledge that kingdom of God, his rightful place as Lord of all, and we plead, your will be done here now. And so whatever happens, we put our trust in our Father. And let us remember too that Jesus as man, as the perfect man, experienced himself in his human life. That wonderful fact that as without sin, as the perfect, the one that was the perfect obedient one, he demonstrated someone who is absolutely fulfilling the will of the Father. And so here is, it's almost a reflection on himself. He brought to us heaven's obedience to earth in this sense. And so, concluding this part of the prayer, we find ourselves alone in our room, joined by others in thanksgiving, becoming aware of the true nature of the holiness of Father, of his kingship, of his direction over us, that he has a purpose for us to be part of his will being done on earth. But then we come to this section of the prayer which utterly brings us down to earth. We become aware of that room around us if we're there, and we see our desperate need of God being with us. Give us today, give us daily the bread we need for our body. There's no heavenly vision here. It's basic food. It's stuff on the table. It reminds us as little children. I'm not the chef. I'm not the housewife. I need food to be brought to me. I'm dependent on God as creator and sustainer of the creation and sustainer of me. The second request, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, as we can say, as we also have forgiven our debtors. A plea for forgiveness. Even a little child is aware of selfish behaviour, of jealousy, of cheating, of wanting sometimes to disobey, of thinking that I know better than mum and dad. There's a need there, isn't there? We've all experienced the need for a changed heart, the need to forgive others, because not everyone behaves in a good way towards us. And as I realise the need to repent of my sins, to experience God's forgiveness, so he enables us, me, to forgive others. So great has the gift of forgiveness, the experience of forgiveness towards me. The third request then is an awareness of our own weakness again. Lead us not into temptation to the test. Don't bring me into difficult circumstances or having to deal with difficult people. A child knows their limitations, generally speaking. And little children know that there are things that they would like to do, but they shouldn't do. The irresistible urge to touch something that is hot on the stove, to do something that is really not a good idea, really nonsense to do it. But there's that curiosity that is there in the child's mind. And I've come to realize that I need God to show the way out of temptation, for he has promised that. I need him to put up a barrier, some sort of sign to say, no, John, don't go here, don't say that, don't do that, and provide a way out. Because the final request underlines that. But deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. Because there is a father of evil. There's a false kingdom. There's a false king. And he comes to tempt and to enslave human beings. There are times when a little child needs a father to lead them out of danger, to rescue them, to give more than first aid, to be the one who puts them on the right path. And surely we are aware of that. And so we have this prayer, simple in form, but very profound. A prayer that can be the beginning of all prayer. This beautiful poem which Jesus gives us is something that will endure. It is a pattern for us to truly be kindergarten students of prayer, but it will carry through until the end of our pilgrimage here. Thinking of being in the kindergarten finally doesn't mean that we don't grow. I mean, after all, the kids in the kindergarten are growing even in that time, and We look forward in our prayer life to grow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Our prayers will change, but there will still be that reality of being aware of his holiness, of our Father's greatness as we are in our rooms, as we become more aware of his kingdom, of our dependence upon him, as we experience his answering, as we experience his comfort, the enfolding of the everlasting arms. We will also increase our understanding of this prayer that Jesus gave. And as we look at other prayers in the New Testament, we will see how others developed their prayer lives. But this prayer opens up the way to praise the Father to pursue his desires and plan, to express our dependence upon him every day. So let us pray. Father, as we rejoice to not be left without words to say, that our Lord has given us this prayer, that we might truly be your disciples and express your love, to express you as King of our lives, and to know your comfort and the strength that you give and the direction and purpose you give to us day by day. That you supply our needs of body and mind and soul, that indeed we might function as your people. So keep us faithful, we pray, to all that you have for us. Keep us aware of your presence with us. Enable us to respond to your will and to be obedient for your plan in our lives. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I want to invite you to participate in an activity with me. Simply a response of affirmation, of saying together the Lord's Prayer. And I'll ask Jolly to put it on the screen. This is the standard version. It's not just... And so we'll have the benediction on the end of it. Okay, but let's just repeat this together as it comes through. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.